What's up, wrestling fans? Welcome to another mailbag edition of the Smark Out Moment Smack Talk podcast. All the July questions you guys have submitted over the past couple of weeks are going to be answered. Well, not all of them. We actually kind of got rid of a couple of them, but most of them, about 9/10 of them, are going to be answered because you sent them in, and that's how the mailbag works. So, who's going to be answering these questions? Well, I am your host, as always, Tony Bango, and on this panel today, we've got Caitlin Ferris.
Hello, everybody.
And Callum Wiggins.
I'm hungry for answers, but mostly hungry.
For some reason, even though it makes no sense, I thought you were going to say I'm hungry for hippos. Which is like, the game's not that you eat hippos.
Or maybe not how you play.
Yeah, that's why the game's broken. That's why I don't play that.
That's the British version.
I would eat a hippo. You know, if somebody gave me like a hippo sandwich, I'd eat it. Why not, right? Got to be better than some other kind of animals that are out there. But you got an animal, you put it on two slices of bread, I'll try it.
It'll be quite bad, though, because you have to cut... Some people don't like the fat on things, and hippos are just all fat. So
that is true.
Just don't eat it if you're fussy.
This is not a mailbag question, but since we're on this random-ass topic, what's the weirdest animal that you guys have ever eaten? Wild boar is probably mine. Other than eel with sushi.
Yeah, I had alligator jerky.
I've had alligator too, that's right.
I've had alligator. I had, one time I did this omakase, the chef's choice at the sushi restaurant. And one of the things I had was milt, which is basically male fish ejaculate.
Yeah, that's, I think you win.
It was actually pretty good, you know, so.
I've had a ostrich steak, which tasted revolting.
I've had an ostrich burger and it tasted fine.
I'm not really into those sort of, animals. I don't eat a lot of, like, birds in particular, which will lead into one of the other questions later.
I don't know why I didn't think about this right after you said it, Caitlin, but, the joke's passed, though. It's not going to be as funny. But that milt thing, what did it come with?
Oh boy.
Alrighty, so let's start getting into the questions that you guys have actually sent in for July. And if you are not familiar with how the mailbag works, it's essentially just kind of a cross between normal wrestling talk plus the all talk show, because we go off tangents on random things, and that's what makes it kind of fun. So we might as well start off with one that's completely unrelated to wrestling. And these are from Silent Wood of Doom, the first couple. He says, all right, have it out. Tell us about your first times.
Well, my first time watching wrestling, I was probably about...
My first time was 6:01 in the morning. That's when I was born.
I see what you did there. First, I was thinking, holy shit, you know the exact minute?
Yeah, no, that's weird.
For some reason, they told me that information, and it stuck in my brain. So when I was little, it would be like, I don't turn whatever age I'm turning until 6:01, you know, that kind of thing. Which, kids are dumb, so that's why you do stuff like that. My first time, I don't have anything funny or interesting really to say about it. I was dating the girl, really, really liked her. She really liked me. She's good looking, so that was awesome. I had a lot of fun. I guess the most interesting thing about it was after we were all finished, she, you know, when we were like catching our breath and everything, she said, well, I guess our sex life isn't going to be a concern then, Jesus Christ. And I was like, all right, I'm the man then, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, nothing really all that interesting. It wasn't like, this was, the top of the Eiffel Tower, you know, or some weird shit. Like, you know, it is what it is. Thumbs up. What about you guys?
I don't know. I'll let you know when it happens. No, seriously.
You stole my
though.
Answer.
Oh, you son of a bitch. No, honestly, I was a senior in high school. It was my girlfriend at the time, and it was my parents' basement. Nothing really out of the ordinary. Just, during the act, my mom did come down in the basement and start doing a load of laundry. So that was kind of cool.
She's like, I got to do a load. And you're like, yeah, me too.
Hey. But it was a separated basement, so like it was on the other side, so it wasn't really too much of a conflict, but still weird. And it was decent for me. Good for her too.
Yeah, you clarified for me at first.
Yeah,
it was decent for me. She had a horrible time, but
as long as I had fun, that's all that matters.
Was it really?
I got mine.
History's written by the winners.
Christ.
Galen, what about you? What's going on with that answer?
Well, my answer is the first answer that Caitlin gave. I'll tell you when I get there.
We'll make a smart announce table for it.
I'd like to say that it's because I'm waiting for the right girl. The correct answer is I don't get out much, I don't drink, and I'm not really interested in casual sex. So I haven't really... I like being single, and so I'll get to it when I get to it. It's not too much of a concern for me.
That is a good answer, though. Cause
yeah.
A lot of people just kind of find themselves 15 with a kid.
You know? Oh, yeah. I'd much rather be where I am now than that. And I do know that eventually when I do it, I'll probably look back and say, God, I should have done this like 6 years ago or something.
See, that was exactly my thing.
Because that's exactly what I did too.
Yeah. All through high school, I was dating girls who were kind of pressuring me. Like, oh, we should. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, when the time is right. And then eventually I was dating this girl. She's just like, no, we're doing this. And I was like, oh, wow. I should have done this a long time ago.
I know. I look back and I'm like, man, I was dating a dancer for a while. Like, not like a, you know, stripper. She was, she actually did like some ballet stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that would have been so fun in high school. Cause she was so, she was so bendy. Like,
I'm kind of more along the line. Oh, sorry. I'll let you finish. No, I was just going to say, I'm more along the lines of thinking, I'm hoping that I eventually get pressured. Cause it's more of a like, oh, you're pretty cute, and no, you're not interested. Okay, we'll move on. I get friend zoned so hard. It's like that's my permanent residence.
See, the trick with that is you got to find somebody who's friend zone, but also friends with benefits.
Bone zone. Yeah, bone zone.
Bone zone's a better way to put it. Yeah, you get somebody who's like, sort of like, yeah, I don't really like being in a relationship, but dick is fun. And then you're like, hey, well,
I got one of those.
Like, I'll try and take up residence there soon. I may vacation there during the summer.
The bone zone. Bone zone's ready. Question two from Southwood Doom. What are you culturally, ethnically, etc.? First off, did you say etc. because you weren't sure exactly how to get around saying race? I think that's what it was. It says, does this actually affect how you act and how you live your life, or are you just a collection of random white people? Yes, we are.
Wow, really? You're going to go there? Random white people. No, I'm half German, half Scottish, basically.
Huh. And I thought it's partially Irish.
A lot of people think that. No, not necessarily. And it's... I don't know. It doesn't really, I just consider myself, yeah, just a random white person. You know, my family's been in the United States for several generations, so I don't really see my ties to that other than, you know, my hair color and my ability to drink a lot and things like that.
Yeah, I'd say I'm pretty fly for a white guy. But other than that, yeah, I'm completely English. I class myself as English rather than British. So that's the real kind of diversity. Yeah, so I'm 100% English, don't have any real relations outside of the country. I think one of my great-great-grandparents or great-grandmothers is French, but other than that, I'm 100% English. My name's Scottish, though, so that's something.
I'm Italian, English, French, German, and Polish. And nothing matters at all about any of it. Like, the only thing that actually has influenced anything for me has been the Italian side. And even that, it's like I'm not like full, like hardcore Italian. Like, you know, I got like family members that are much more Italian, and even like friends that are like very much more Italian. Like, a buddy of mine's in this like Sons of Italy, like kind of like culture club sort of thing. And I'm, you know, like, it's like a whole bunch of like real like Italian people. And I'm like, I am so out of place when it comes to that kind of stuff. But if anything, like people point out to me, they go like, oh, well, you're clearly Italian. And I'm like, yeah, all right. Dark hair, love pasta, love pizza. Pretty Italian, yeah, stereotypical. But like the French side, like I, nothing. German side, nothing. Polish side, nothing. I don't think anything from the English side, but, you know, I like James Bond, so I'm kind of like, I'm okay with being, I'm okay with having the mob side and having the Bond side. The other stuff, I don't think that there's really all that much of a positive as far as Polish goes and stuff, but yeah, like, that's why I like certain foods and stuff, because it's from the Italian side. Because my dad was 100% Italian, so he was 50% Italian, 50% Polish, so, like, he was very much Italian, you know. Every once in a while, they'd say something that would be, like, that real Italian pronunciation, you know.
Like, mozzarella.
Yeah, like, capicola wasn't capicola, it was gabagool, and it's like, the fuck does that mean, you know? But yeah, painfully white is a better way to describe me than anything else. Question three. I'm totally going to lose track of the questions here, so that's going to be the last one I bother saying question number whatever. Who do you think, personally, is the most attractive wrestler of the opposite sex of all time? And then question for the same as far as same sex goes. Same sex, I would go with John Morrison, maybe.
That's a good answer. I was thinking maybe him. I think maybe Fandango would be good, too.
He's up there at the very least.
Fandango.
I can see people justifying him as being one of the best-looking ones because he's a good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. Opposite sex, that's real tough because I have so many names that come to my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Sonny is one of my go-tos, you know, but that's a little bit of, like, nostalgia, too. And, like, Maurice is ridiculously good-looking, but she looked better in the past now than she does now. Trish is up there. Mickey James is up there for me. AJ Lee, Alexa Bliss. But if I had to name one that I might put above the rest, even just when it comes to like never being mentioned by anybody and being flat out gorgeous, Kimberly Page. She was a bombshell.
I got to refresh my memory here.
Yeah, I never really watched much WCW, so I do remember seeing her, but she never really left too much of a lasting impression on me.
Yeah, do yourself a favor, and Kimberly Page, let me see if I can find one of the better pictures right that I had used when I was just sort of like, this picture could win that whole tournament in the past.
I thought you were going to say a picture that you used for something else.
Jury's out on that. And, of course, I can't find it or whatever. I used to be on smartcatmoment.com, but then eventually all the Google stuff was just kind of like, hey, you've got, like, porn on your site. And it's like, no, I don't. There we go. Here's a small version of the picture that I am thinking about. So it doesn't really do it as much justice, but
all right, what do we got?
You over on Skype.
Okay, is this going to load? Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Amazing looking girl.
I wouldn't say no.
And it, like, you look at like DDP at the time, he was one of the older guys on the roster, and he was like kind of weird looking a little bit, like not like, you know, some hideous chud or something like that, but like totally not the type of guy that I would have expected to be able to land Kimberly Page, but he did. And kudos, dude. Fist bump.
Oh, yeah.
What about you guys? What do you have in mind?
Opposite sex. My go-tos in my mind are Tori Wilson, Candice Michelle, Christy Hemme, Emma, and Alexa Bliss.
Emma is a surprise choice.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
I think Emma's like so drop dead gorgeous. It's kind of been the last year or so, because she's posting more of her modeling shots and things like that. So I guess it's been more of a gradual appreciation of her rather than, oh, my God, I saw her for the first time and my eyes were glued. For same sex, I'll probably go for, if you go for a classic, maybe someone like Rick Martel or Rick Rude. Mainly more for the body than anything else. But nowadays, I'd say Roman Reigns.
Okay. As far as opposite sex, I'm split between two. The two that came to my mind are AJ Lee, and one that I'm surprised neither of you said, Stacy Keibler.
Yeah, I mean, Stacy's one of those, kind of like Tori Wilson, where if anybody says that they think that she's the best looking, I'm like, hey, you know, valid answer. You know what
yeah.
I mean? I always thought that Stacy was a little bit overrated, though.
I don't know about that.
Like, when people think she was like a 100 out of a 100 scale, I'm like, I wouldn't go that far. But still.
And I'm not basing this on, you know, in ring ability or anything at all.
No, oh, no, of course not.
but yeah, I'd say Stacy and AJ.
The two good choices.
Who would you guys say is one of the most underrated that should be in the conversation for the best looking?
Obviously, I think Emma, but that's just my personal thing. But if more of a general person, I'd say Victoria.
Yeah. Victoria's a good guess or a good answer.
Guess. I guess she's hot.
I guess it, yeah.
Kimberly Page was my go-to that nobody ever brings up, but I'd have to go back and check out that whole friggin' long tournament.
Yeah.
Because there were a couple in there that like I wasn't too familiar with, and I was just sort of like, if like, I remember correctly, somebody was like Sonya something or whatever. And since like she was like a nobody in the wrestling industry, nobody ever brought her up, but I kind of remember her being like really hot. And yeah, I don't know. I'll have to listen back to those old episodes, which recently have been getting a lot of like YouTube says, no, we don't want to put ads on this one because it's sexually graphic content. And it's like, yeah. What? Because like me and Braden are saying like, yeah, I'd fuck her. Like that kind of thing. Like,
well, and another one that we were talking about during our latest tournament, which I think is going to be, she'll be higher in the ranking next time, is Peyton Royce. And I think she's underrated just for the fact that not a lot of people are familiar with her as they will be, I'd say, a year from this point.
She did pretty damn well in this tournament this year.
Mm-hmm.
More and more familiarity that she gets, the more and more she's going to be up higher and higher. And I wouldn't be too shocked if Peyton Royce got to the semifinals or the finals again next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially if she gets onto the main roster soon.
Mm-hmm. And she should be at this point. Like, come on. Move her up to Raw and fix some of those problems. Another question from Salwa Doom here. We've got, who do you most wish would have pictures leaked about them? Not necessarily for your enjoyment, but out of morbid curiosity. For instance, a few questions were answered with the Charlotte leaks. Did you see the Charlotte leaks? What did you think? I hope Drew is on for this one, and if he is and hasn't seen them, make him. Drew, if you're listening, tell us what you thought. And Salwa Doom, clarify what you meant by a few questions were answered with the Charlotte leaks. I'm very curious what questions.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm wondering, too. What do you mean?
First things first, did you guys see the Charlotte leaks?
No.
I think I posted one. I think one of you guys in a chat posted one or something. And I was like, eh, yeah.
I probably did, because I always check any kind of fappening leaks. Because whenever there's a wrestling one that's on there, I got to make that a hot tag immediately. You know, that's like that's an easy thing to be like. Charlotte nudes leaked as the first part of the hot tag and then get a bunch of hits and stuff. You know?
No, it's one of those the leaks are one of those things where if I always hear about it first and I never seek it out at that point, I figure, well, maybe I'll eventually see it. And if I don't, you know, no big loss, because to a certain extent, I do feel a little bad because that's supposed to be their private stuff.
No,
but if somebody shows me and says, hey, you know, look at this, I'm OK. But I'm not going to go out and seek it out. You know, I don't Google it or anything like that or look up the site. So, but if somebody shows me, I'll look.
Oh, flat out admit I look it up because I want to see. You know, if somebody tells me that, I don't know, say even the ones that like I'm not really all that into, like when Caitlyn got mm-hmm. leaked, I'm like, all right, I'll check that out. You know, let's see what she's packing, that kind of thing. But whether it comes to a morbid curiosity, I keep saying that wrong. Why can't I say that today? Morbid curiosity. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Or that you'd legitimately like to see. I'll toss a couple of names out here.
Yeah.
Obviously, Alexa Bliss is one.
Yeah.
Which she's rumored every time that somebody says that there's leaks coming, people are like, is it Alexa Bliss? It's like, it's so funny. Some, you know, that I wouldn't necessarily think that people would jump on. I mean, we mentioned Peyton Royce and stuff, and obviously people would be interested in like Sasha Banks and Carmella. But two names that nobody ever brings up that I'd be pretty damn interested, Alicia Fox and Kathy Kelly.
Okay.
They're both
really good looking.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But if we count non-wrestling celebrities, the first one I thought of was if we could get something from back in the day, the Pink Ranger, Amy Jo Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be number one. But there's so many good looking celebrities. I mean, you got Emma Stone and you've got Anna Kendrick and Taylor Swift and Mila Kunis and Summer Glau, like just, you know, there's Emma Watson, or she actually got leaked, I think, come to think of that. So take her off the list then, if that's true. The one girl from Star Wars, Force Awakens, and Legends of Tomorrow. She played Vixen in Legends of Tomorrow, Maisie something or other. She is just flat out gorgeous. So, hey, you leak her, I'm going to look. What about you?
See, and a lot of these names that you've mentioned too have done, even if they haven't done like nude photography, they've done some pretty near, you know, some pretty risque photography. So it doesn't leave much to the imagination. So if you want,
only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah. One name that popped, you know, thinking about the current roster, one name that popped in my head is another one who has done some pretty revealing photographs before, and that's Lana. I don't think we've seen everything, have we? But
yes,
I think
she's done. She's done full nude pictorials.
Okay, well, I haven't seen it. But.
Not that I've searched for it or anything.
See, there you go. I'm interested, but I wouldn't even look it up. So, if you guys happen to share it, no, I don't know.
If I had to go for anyone on the like wrestling side of things, it'd have to be someone who's not known for showing a lot of skin, because then you do have that curiosity of, oh my god, it's like somebody who we've never seen in that situation before. So I go Stephanie McMahon.
I was worried you were going to say Linda McMahon.
I mean, I'm not going to say no. Stephanie McMahon or Renee Young.
Renee Young would be a good choice too.
But I kind of feel like I have too much respect for Renee Young to look at it.
That's what I was thinking.
I don't.
Stephanie, I don't care. Stephanie, I don't care.
Oh, I have the respect and everything, but I would still look immediately. And I feel bad about other celebrities, too, that get hacked and stuff. I don't condone it, because it's like, it is shitty, because I wouldn't want that to happen to me if that were the case.
Right.
But at the same time, you tell me that a good-looking girl has nude pictures and it's available, I'm a guy. Like, that's like going, hey, free pizza, you want a slice? Yeah. Unless it's from Papa John's, because, ugh. Howard Starr question: who will be the first to retire? Big Show, Mark Henry, Kane, or The Undertaker? Undertaker is retired.
Yeah, that's already. What I was gonna say. It's pretty much, you know, said and done. As far as the other three,
and Kane might be retired too.
Right. Yeah, we don't know what's going on with his political aspirations there.
Same thing for Mark Henry and Big Show. Mark Henry on the table for three said he's in like a transition to being retired. And Big Show, last time that he had done some kind of interview about it, he said that next year's WrestleMania was his last one.
Yeah, I'd say of the four, though, Big Show is the most currently active. We've actually seen him in the ring in the last month. So,
all Henry's been doing, apparently, is helping Neville. He said in a recent interview that he's the one that's been helping Neville with his promos.
Good for him. It's working.
Yeah.
So if we start hearing Neville change from the king of the cruiserweights and you're not on the Neville level to like, that's just what I do and stuff like that, then we're gonna be like, oh, okay, makes sense. Comes out in a salmon suit.
Sexual vanilla.
Sexual vanilla midget, it would have to be. Yeah, I think the order that we're looking at here is Undertaker, then Kane, then Mark Henry, then Big Show.
I think you're right. Yeah,
I'd swap Kane and Mark Henry, because I think Mark Henry will officially retire before Kane does, just because Kane will wait until he gets the actual mayor job before he retires.
When are the elections for that? Does anybody know?
November? I have no idea. I'm just guessing.
I would assume November, but there's always like vote for the Board of Education in the middle of fucking March and shit. Like, you know. So I've never voted for a local election thing. There's another mailbag thing because I don't pay any attention to any of that stuff.
You don't even know your local comptroller?
I'm assuming that if he takes his mask off, he's Otto. Oh, did you see that thing I sent you earlier? The Star Wars.
Which one?
I posted it in the one chat about it. It was a reference to Bart with the Flintstones phone. He picks it up and it's Palpatine saying execute order 66. And then it starts cutting to all the things where in The Simpsons where people have gotten killed, like Maude getting killed and stuff.
Oh no, I missed that. That's
it's fun. So good. Go ahead and double check that out, anybody who's a Simpsons fan.
Yabba dabba doo, I like talking to you.
He gets all talking excited.
I call the Flintstone phone.
Question from ATB. Have you been keeping up with Mega Powers Wrestling, MPW, that Peyton does over on... Does he still do on Twitch? Well, I guess that's your answer to the question. I haven't been keeping up. I don't know if he still does Twitch. I think it's just Beam now.
Well, and Beam switched... I think he switched to Mixer, too. So I actually have not been keeping up lately, because usually after Raw, he does shows after Raw, and I'm just so beat at that point that I usually end up going to bed, or if I have work to do, I stay up and work. As far as the other ones, I'm not really sure the schedule, and yeah, I've kind of fallen behind.
Callum, were you checking out MVW before?
Oh, I used to, yeah, but that was usually only when I was having one of my insomnia attacks, and I don't get them very much anymore. And yeah, I still... I know, I'm so blessed. But I stopped watching them after he moved exclusively away from Twitch, because I only really watch Twitch. I've never gone on to any other of the streaming services.
Yeah, that's probably about, because I would get the email notifications when he would go on to Twitch. So as soon as he stopped doing that, I would stop getting the notifications, and it kind of slipped my mind.
I didn't stopped getting those too because of that. So that makes sense.
And I kind of stopped paying attention after you stopped talking about Raw before. This thing's just like saying, oh, this and this happened in Raw. Now we just move on to the actual thing that we want. I just think, no, I want to hear you talk about Raw. That's why I stopped listening in the first place.
Well, for anybody who's interested in the MPW side of things, Peyton does still do that on Monday nights, as far as I'm aware. And he does the little side shows here and there, too. He streams all the time as it is, whether or not it's MPW. So if you check out, I don't know the link off the top of my head, but I'm assuming that it would be, was it Mixer? Is that the name of it?
I believe so. M-I-X-E-R, M-I-X-R.
Mixer.com.
I'm failing
slash,
here.
M-R-P-A-D-E-N. It should be, because he uses that for all his like handles and stuff. So go ahead and subscribe if you want to see the latest exploits of Anton and Big Dick Magic and Cocknose. And
I think Cocknose retired.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
I wish I could make a joke that has some kind of a cock or nose pun, but I can't think of any of that. Now I'm sad. What was the name of the character that you had, Kaylin?
Dickie Fantastic?
That's what it was. I was like, it was another dick thing. Big Dick Magic and Cocknose, and I was like, what was the third dick? Tricky dicks. Let's go into questions from Marco from California. What feuds does Rusev start after Cena and Mahal after Orton? Oh, okay. So what does Rusev do after Cena? What does Mahal do after Orton? It's looking like it would probably be Cena and Mahal, because I can't imagine Shinsuke Nakamura getting that title shot.
And yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Rusev, I think, is just not going to be on the SummerSlam card.
Oh, he's got to be on SummerSlam.
Well, SummerSlam's 2 hours shorter than it was the last 2 years. They're only doing a standard 4 hour show, like three hour of a show and then 1 hour pre-show, instead of a 2 hour pre-show and a 4 hour show.
Well, that's dumb.
I don't know why that's happening, but it's making me really, really nervous about this card. This card, well, we'll get into it when we get closer to the pay-per-view, but it's not shaping up to look all that great to me.
It's looking like a one-match card to me at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, then again, you know, you never know, because sometimes the ones that have the lowest hype or the lowest build, or lowest excitement heading into it ends up being a really great show.
And then there's Battleground.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, God. This. I mean, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, I think Rusev is going to be one of the few that gets cut. And I think that the same is going to happen with Sami Zayn and Mike Kanellis. I think you can roll out Ty Dillinger, of course. I think that you can roll out possibly even like most of the Raw mid-carders too. Because I think that we're going to get either The Shield against Cesaro and Sheamus, or... Well, we know that we're going to get, like, Balor versus Wyatt. That seems like a guarantee.
Yeah.
And maybe The Miz against Jason Jordan now. But, like, you know, Apollo Crews isn't going to do anything. You know that, like, it shouldn't be. But I wouldn't be shocked if Baron Corbin didn't have a match.
Well, at this point, I wouldn't be shocked if Randy Orton doesn't have a match.
Oh, I'm writing him off completely. I think that he's taking the time off. And I'd rather him take the time off than to have him against Great Khali. Like,
is he doing doing another movie, or what's he doing?
I think he's just like kind of beaten up and wants to take time off, but I'm not too sure.
Okay.
Because Sheamus is filming a movie right now, but maybe Orton is too. Maybe. Huh. Either way, I don't think that Jinder Mahal is going to fight Nakamura, and I think that there's a possibility maybe that Rusev starts something with Nakamura. Just to kind of, like, move on to a different thing. But, like, what would they feud over, you know? So, Rusev right now, if he doesn't... Because they can't do the Cena-Rusev thing again. Nobody's going to give a shit. No. If Rusev doesn't fight Nakamura, I think he's off the card. And Jinder Mahal, it seems like it's John Cena. Which it should be. What question are we on? We are on... Okay, right here. When will WWE use true mid-carders? Speaking of mid-carders. Like, right. Harper, Ty Dillinger, Aiden English, Jinder Mahal, Chad Gable in the U.S. title picture because they have main eventers in the mid-card title picture. That's tough. I think Harper is not going to get into that mid-card title scene. I think he's teaming back up with Rowan.
I think that's his best hope of getting a lot of attention is going back into the tag team scene, which is a shame because I think he's worth a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they would have repackaged him. Just like he doesn't need to change his name. He could still be Luke Harper, but all he did when he became a babyface was wear a black tank top.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, Aiden English to me is not a true mid-carder.
No, he's below that.
He's a jobber. And Jinder Mahal right now is the WWE champion, so he really can't be in the U.S. title picture. But Chad Gable should be in there immediately.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 100%.
And Ty Dillinger, as far as I'm concerned, he should be in the picture too, along with Rusev. And if they split up Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder, both of them, I think, should be potential mid-carders. And Shelton Benjamin might make his return. So I think we're in a little bit of a transitional period. Right now, SmackDown's struggling with a lot of shit. but we don't even know who's going to be the United States champion next week because they keep switching that fucking belt.
Yeah, what the heck?
Do you guys have a preference? Should it be Owens or should it be Styles?
It should be Owens.
I don't really care. I don't think it should be either of them. They both should be fighting for the WWE championship.
Yeah.
That's my point of view.
They're both already over without a title, so I don't think the title's really doing much to elevate them necessarily. They're both bigger than that.
At this point, I'd have one of them, whoever it is, lose it to, say, a Chad Gable or a Rusev or something like that, so it can transition back into the mid-card, and they can be elevated upwards. Just, like, have a shock win of Gable rolling up Owens or something like that, and then we can return to normality.
Very much agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Are stipulation pay-per-views the reason we no longer see stipulations that actually make sense in storylines? Yes.
Yeah, let's just get rid of the stipulation pay-per-views. We don't need to have a Hell in a Cell scheduled every year. We don't need to have TLC. The only one that really, and I think Money in the Bank should be back at WrestleMania.
I think SummerSlam.
Yeah, that'd be good too.
I'll get into that when I do fantasy booking in 2 weeks, but yeah, I think from their perspective, at least from Vince McMahon's, which, of course, this is just speculation, hearsay, and theory. No confirmation on it at all. I think in Vince McMahon's mind, he sees something like Hell in a Cell as just a gimmick, and he doesn't really have any kind of real appreciation for it the way that the fans do. So in his mind, it's like, well, Hell in a Cell is this interesting concept that we can sell every year. And when fans complain and they go like, oh man, Hell in a Cell doesn't mean as much as it used to. It used to be a way to end the feud. He's like, well, if you like Hell in a Cell, we were giving it to you every year. Why are you complaining? That kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's not the same logic. And TLC, I've talked about this so many times. TLC matches are ladder matches. There's no difference. They just happen to also say, make sure you guys use a chair and a table in this match. But that pay-per-view is dumb as hell. They need to get rid of that immediately. In my mind, the only stipulation pay-per-views we should get are Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber. Especially because King of the Ring's not around anymore.
Yeah, I agree. I like both of those. The other ones seem kind of forced, I would say.
I don't really agree with the Elimination Chamber one. I think that ruins the anticipation for it as well. I do like its position. If you are going to have it, I do like its position on the card of pay-per-views as just before WrestleMania. So it's the last trial that the champion has to go through before making it to WrestleMania.
Well, I think it's better off when you don't have the champion involved. I think it needs to be like, that needs to be who determines the number one contender for the other belt that the Royal Rumble winner didn't win.
Like,
so you get like a guy from Raw and he wins and he's like, all right, I'm going to challenge the Universal Champion with my Royal Rumble victory. And then they go, all right, well, we need to figure out a number one contender for SmackDown's title. And since none of the SmackDown guys won the Royal Rumble, you got to go through the Elimination Chamber. I think that that's the best way to do that, because it's sort of like, well, you want that second chance, you got to fucking earn it, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. But
it seems more fair, yeah.
I kind of go along the lines that gimmick pay-per-view should be based around winning something, or maybe a grand tournament or something, like King of the Ring, rather than around a certain match stipulation. That's the way I would do gimmick pay-per-views.
Yeah, and less of like when they did Fatal 4-Way, and it was like, we're just going to have a lot of Fatal 4-Way matches. So we're like...
Mm-hmm.
Even Extreme Rules right now, it's like they don't want to commit to Extreme Rules. They only have no DQ matches. And there's only like 3 matches on the card. It used to be every single match had some stipulation. And that was fun. Because you would have like, you know, a false count anywhere match, and then a stretcher match, and then a, I don't know, bull whip on a pole match or whatever.
Right.
And now you have stuff like what's the point of Clash of Champions? The one night in the year where all the championships are defended, just as they are every pay-per-view.
Right.
Like, yeah. That should be a special event of like a random episode of Raw.
Yeah. Yeah, completely agree. Well, that's the way it was when it was back in WCW. It was a special televised event rather than a pay-per-view.
Makes so much more sense. Well, would you guys consider Survivor Series a gimmick pay-per-view?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well then we need to throw that in as I still like that one.
Oh yeah, that works for me. I'd like a pay-per-view. I don't say that Survivor Series has to be this, but a pay-per-view where it's Raw versus SmackDown.
Bragging Rights.
That'd be a gimmick one.
Bragging Rights was great. I loved that. We had the Intercontinental Champion against the United States Champion, the two world champions fight each other, the two women's champions fight each other, the two tag champs fight each other, and then you do a team match. That was great.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the way they should go.
And the Cruiserweight can be on the pre-show. Because that's not, you don't have like an equivalent. Or fuck it, do the Cruiserweight against the
UK champ
or something like that. Or do like the Cruiserweight, the UK champ, and all the NXT champions in like a battle royal or something, you know? Probably easier to just do Cruiserweight champion fighting a random person, but Bragging Rights was fun. Bring that shit back. Bring that back as like a special crossover episode of Raw, if you need to, instead of a pay-per-view. Or just do it as a random event like you're doing the tournaments. Like the Mae Young Classic. Do that shit, WWE. Come on.
Do it.
Even though I already said my thoughts about this a little bit, my buddy Dane is a big fucking Rusev fan. And he sent this in. He was like, he needed us to talk about this. He says, what is your opinion of Rusev's tweet about Shane McMahon's helicopter emergency landing? As Rusev's number one fan, I'm worried that WWE might bury him when they should set him up for a match between him and Shane at SummerSlam. I tried to get a little bit of video footage. Dane bought, he spent like $25 or something on Prime Day to get the bulk Aryan flag. And he just took it over to Dace's house the other day, and it's fucking huge. He didn't realize how big it was, but it's the type of flag that you hang outside of, like, an actual office building.
Oh, jeez.
So he's trying to wave that in Dace's basement and just kind of, you know, all upset when Rusev lost. But, yeah, what did you guys think about that tweet? I thought it was fucking hilarious.
It was brilliant. It's why I always believe that Rusev should be getting more opportunities, because he has personality that he displays, not just on SmackDown or pay-per-views. He displays it through Twitter, social, any type of social media. He's a really funny guy.
I think Rusev is one of the better wrestlers on Twitter. He's really funny with what he posts, and it's a lot of stuff you wouldn't expect him to post. So
the best thing about him on Twitter as well is he never breaks character.
Mm-hmm.
It's always still like Rusev. Rusev, the Rusev that you see on TV is the same Rusev you see on Twitter.
Like, do you guys think that he's going to get any kind of like backlash or push out of it?
No, I don't think it'll be connected to anything on TV.
Yeah, I don't think it'll affect him. Well, I don't think it will negatively affect him at the very least.
Yeah, I'm thinking that that's something that just maybe they had a laugh about it. And maybe they didn't even think that it happened. I don't think it's going to be anything positive or negative, which I would rather them do something positive about it. Just have him, like he should have this week at the very least, bitch to Shane McMahon and would have been like, that was ridiculous that I had that flag match with John Cena or whatever. Then Shane would have been like, I don't give a shit what you have to say. You made fun of my helicopter crash. Like, you know, like it would have been a good way to tie that in. But then that requires effort and writing. And SmackDown doesn't like to do that right now. Let's get into Peter's questions. Number one, why was there a Slammiversary chat in the Mega Maniacs group? And why did it have more comments than the SmackDown Live ones? I put it in there as a joke because I know that nobody watches TNA, and it really did have more fucking things than SmackDown, which really is confusing to me. I mean, I just ragged on SmackDown a minute ago, but I don't get how nobody watches SmackDown. Nobody ever comments. Maybe it's because it's on Tuesdays. I don't know.
Yeah, I work at the time, so I don't end up getting home in time. And then by the time, I usually just read the recap. So
I think nothing is really happening on SmackDown at the moment to merit any sort of discussion. Or if anything is being worth discussing, then it's pretty much all negative, and you don't really want to spend too much time or effort going through that. Yeah. I can imagine the Slammiversary one doing pretty well, just along the lines of you don't put TNA content on there very often unless it's something like, oh my god, another wrestler got suspended or somebody else is leaving, so those sort of posts. So they might just get interested to, oh, this is one event that TNA are doing, and might find it interesting. Because I didn't think Slammiversary was terrible from what I saw of it.
I watched like a segment and a half and I hated it. It's like I watched the backstage skit that they did with Scott Steiner.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, fuck you.
I couldn't help it. I really enjoyed it. Just mainly because it was Scott Steiner. And he's so unpredictable. Predictably unpredictable.
Question number whatever. I forgot about doing the numbers here. Tony, why do you do the hot tags after Raw instead of SmackDown? I've always wondered. If you want to do and ask him, how about at the end of the hot tags? Well, first questions first. I do the hot tags on Monday night because I'm usually on a roll. And it's kind of easier to sort of knock it out Monday nights. And then, like, sometimes I actually do the ask him and the rest hold and stuff on Monday night as well. Like, I did that this week. That way I can just kind of, like, work for a lot of hours and then not have to worry as much on working as much on Tuesdays. But I used to do the rest hold stuff after talking smack. Now that they don't have that anymore, that frees up another half an hour. And I'm going to be getting rid of that whole section anyway and trying to figure out a way to put that in elsewhere. So now that I'm like at episode 300, I'm going up until 300, and 300 I'll switch it around. But I might start doing the hot tags after 205 Live instead. I don't know. I'll have to see what it works with my schedule. But the main reason why I don't want to do the Ask Him and stuff anymore isn't that I don't want to do the separate video. It's that I don't want to do it, period. Like, it's a little bit extra work and all that. So if I were to add that into the hot tags, it would be the same amount of work, if not harder. So we're going to try to do that as like a Facebook, Twitter kind of thing, maybe. And I'm going to have to talk to Callum a little bit more about that and how we can sort of keep it going, but not be like number one priority type of thing.
I'll do my best.
And I don't know about the Smark My Words. That might be like a Megamaniacs thing, or I might just try to comment more on the comments that you guys leave on YouTube as sort of a compensation for that. And the rest hold information. I don't know where I'm going to put that stuff. And the Did You Know is, I still want to do the Did You Know. So that might just go like at the end of the hot tags or the beginning of the hot tags, or I don't know. We'll figure it out. But leave your suggestions in the comments below. Tell me what you think we should do with that kind of stuff. Are Eric Rowan and Luke Harper still employed by WWE? Also, I've heard conflicting rumors about Eva Marie. What's up with her? Eva Marie's gone. She's just waiting out her contract. And Rowan and Harper? Fuck if we know. We're all assuming that they're the people that are attacking the fashion police, though, right?
That's what I thought.
It's a pretty safe assumption, I think, at the moment. But at this point in time, there's a lot of things up in the air. Probably thinking that they're stalling it because they're waiting until after TakeOver Brooklyn, and then it's going to be Sanity.
That is a possibility. Even that, though, it's kind of weird that they would be brought up more than the Authors of Pain. But then the Authors of Pain could be losing those belts, too.
I've also heard this rumor, which I don't know if it's 100% true or not, but apparently Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli were taken off the NXT roster page.
Huh. That's weird.
And I'd be utterly shocked if it was those two, but
strike me as the two that would be doing that.
Yeah. Maybe they've just been taken off NXT in general and they've just been moved back to doing live events. It's probably more likely.
Like both those guys teaming up, so I hope that they're not like gone or something. But yeah, jury's out on Rowan and Harper. They don't seem to be doing anything but live events. Or actually, they might not even be doing live events anymore. I don't know. Speaking of where are people, Peter asks, did James Ellsworth fail the wellness policy test? He got suspended for 30 days. Odd number or not? Nah, that's storyline.
Yeah, that's just kayfabe.
How funny would it be, though, if it was like he was doing steroids?
Let's say just standing next to Jinder Mahal and they both had tests.
I was going to say, if he's doing steroids, he needs to go to his dealer and get his money back.
It's actually just Tic Tacs, but the label says steroids. He's like, I've been popping so many of these and it's not working. What the hell? Another question here. Do you count the Brian? Sorry about this, Peter. I'm laughing at the way that you typed this. It says, do you count that Brian Kendrick's WWE title reign? He started off as the Brian Kendrick. Now he's that Brian Kendrick.
That Brian Kendrick.
Technically, the rules of the championship scramble. You make a pin, you are the champion. He did get the pin. The rules were actually that they were interim champions and they didn't technically count. So, No, he never was a WWE champion.
It's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite weird as well.
He was worth it.
Oh, no, definitely not. But he was quite fun on SmackDown for that short period that he was a single star. But was he the only person besides Jeff Hardy and Triple H to get a pinfall in that match? I can't remember it too clearly, but I think it was. And then I'm just thinking, oh, God, Shelton Benjamin couldn't even get an interim WWE championship reign.
Yeah, Shelton, I thought, should have won that ECW title. And Brian Kendrick, I thought, should have won the Intercontinental. But neither happened, oddly enough.
No, Big Zeke got the Intercontinental title instead.
Yeah, that was strange. Here's a good question. Which tag team that never won the gold do you wish would have? The Awesome Truth, and I'll cheat and say Generation Me and TNA because of New Japan. I had a couple that came to my mind. Enzo and Cass was one.
That was the first one that came to my mind.
Mm.
That's crazy that they never won it in either the main roster or in NXT.
Yep.
I was a little bit surprised that the Rockers never did, and Crime Time, that was like, what?
Yeah, they had tons of opportunities.
Kate and Murdoch were champions a bunch of times, and like, what were they? Deuce and Domino were champions, and it's like, Crime Time was actually over. They should have won those belts. Maybe the Real Americans.
Harper and Rowan never won, did they? Or did they?
They're NXT tag champions, but they've never been WWE tag champions.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Harper has.
Oh, yeah. With Orton and
Yeah, the trio kind of. Rowan never did, though. Poor Rowan. He just gets a jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say a big tag team that never won the WWE tag championships was the Mega Powers.
Aha, I think that's a good one.
Yeah,
I think Hogan really and Savage answer. Could have both held it, especially with the fact that Savage was champion at the time. Could give Hogan another belt.
Yeah, wow, they should have won those. And did the Natural Disasters, did they win one?
I believe so.
They should have, too.
Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure they did.
Bushwhackers never did.
No, but it's
arguable whether or not they should.
Yeah, I was going to say no.
At that point in time when tag team wrestling was actually good, in terms of like how it was held up in high esteem, I don't think they would have lived up to expectations.
Still, it would have been kind of fun the way that they did that arm thing if they would have been holding a title at the time. I can't think of any other tag teams that should have. Any others that come to your guys' minds?
See,
I'm trying to think of some round about the Attitude Era, just in case. But most of the tag teams around about that period even won it all were too short-lived to actually get it.
I was thinking maybe did Billy and Chuck hold the titles?
Yeah,
can't remember back that far.
What about D'Lo Brown and Chaz?
Nah.
Actually, D'Lo Brown and Mark Henry never held the tag titles, I don't think.
Didn't they? I thought they did. No, they didn't, because Mark Henry's not a tag team champion.
Yeah. So, maybe them, but they weren't that great back then, so I'm just clutching at straws.
Well, kind of another question about the tag teams. We actually have two more questions about the tag teams, or three more questions about the tag teams, huh? Which tag team has no Marty but two Shawns? His suggestions were the Shield, Beer Money, and the Hardys. We just mentioned a minute ago the Mega Powers.
Yeah, that's one.
New Age Outlaws, I would say. But if I had to pick, Billy Gunn was higher than Road Dogg.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd say.
Maybe Morrison and the Miz. But then again, Miz is better than Morrison in a lot of different ways. So, but I wouldn't classify Morrison as Marty Jannetty either, so. Those are the three teams that I thought of, but there's other ones too.
I mean, I'd say the Revival and the Usos, because they're both on quite level pars. But that's kind of saying, are they both short? Could they both have the potential to be Shawn Michaels? No. So, but they're not two Jannettys either.
They're Marty Michaels.
Yeah, I'd argue Team Hell No.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that is good. Well, Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah, that's even better.
The Rhodes Brothers.
I'd go with that.
Okay, they're on the same page. Yeah,
I think it's hard to distinguish. Like, I think for this type of question, you have to think about tag teams that could potentially split up, and one of them could go up really high, and one of them would be either stuck floating around tag teams or in the lower mid-card. So picking teams like the Usos, the Revivals, you'd expect if they were to split up that neither of them would actually get anywhere.
Yeah, and it's hard to talk about when it's like two random people team up, like Shawn Michaels and John Cena win a tag title. It's like, well, they don't really count, you know? But then you talk about like the Smoking Guns and you're like, oh, that definitely counts because nobody gives a shit about Bart Gunn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another tag team question here. What tag team breakup is your favorite, the saddest, and the most unexpected? The Rockers is the best.
That was good.
Yeah. Mega Powers would be a close second, I think.
They're both excellent ones. I think the Shield has to be put up there.
Yeah, that's definitely up there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of any ones that may slip the mind a little bit. I think the Miz and Morrison's one was quite good. It was quite impactful at the time because it was during the draft they got split up. I think either the Miz was traded to ECW or Morrison was traded to SmackDown or something along those lines, and they both seemed to be quite cordial and upset about it, and then the Miz hit a skull crushing finale. That sticks in my mind just because I like the Miz. So.
Kaylin, any other ones you can think of?
No, I'm struggling to think of any others right now.
As always, everybody, leave your comments if you can think of more, because I got a feeling we're probably forgetting like some really obvious ones or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, not like, oh, yeah, I cried my eyes out when Team Bad split up. Like, not that kind of thing. But like, I'm thinking that there has to be something with like a DX split or something that would have been different or whatever. Like, you know, like one of those kind of things. But, you know. Using the current roster, who do you want to see teaming? I want to see Titus Worldwide join the Miz Tourage. Titus being the Miz's agent. That's kind of funny. I joked about this the other day, but the more I thought about it, the more I actually kind of liked it. Darren Young teaming with Patrick Clark. I kind of want to see that. And I'd like to see Ryder and Hawkins back together. I'd like to see Gallows and Anderson join up with Finn Balor again, and they could turn babyface. I'm cool with Eric Rowan and Luke Harper back together again. I'd like to see maybe the Lucha Dragons get back together. And just a random tag team that I think could work, Ty Dillinger and Roderick Strong.
Yeah, I could see that.
You could call them Perfectly Strong. Or Roderick 10.
In terms of two superstars, you kind of want two superstars that don't have a lot of direction at the moment. So I think one of them would have to be Aiden English. Aiden English and Elias Sampson.
Ah, that's actually a good pairing. You got two musicians. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that'd be good. But that'd involve one of them being traded, but I don't think either show would miss them too much.
It's got to be pretty awkward. That would be like, the Mozart of melody. Bring.
Maybe not right now, but down the line, I'd like to see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens as a tag team. I think
who's Marty?
Zayn, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
It'd be good. It'd be good in the future just to mix it up with them constantly being in each other's throats.
Once their feud hits 6 or 7 years, then they'll do it. This is almost there at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, hasn't it been that long?
What are some other ones we got? I can't think of any more off the top of my head. What about you guys?
The one that came to my mind, first of all, was Finn Balor with the club. I think that one makes the most sense.
What about, take Jason Jordan from Raw and put him with Chad Gable on SmackDown?
That'll never work.
Brilliant. They could be like American Betas or something. Maybe something a little catchier.
Mm. We'll have to think about that one.
I mean, it is a coincidence that they're using the same theme song.
Oh, wow. I never even realized that.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
What if they had that kind of mentality, like some writer backstage pitched that, be like, those guys look like that they would be a good tag team together. Like, you know, be hilarious. Let's see, what a question here. Who do you think will be hurt by not having Pyro anymore?
I mean, the big answer would be Lesnar, but half the time he doesn't get Pyro when he has his entrance anyway, so.
Lesnar was the first one that came to my mind also. And Kane, it's required for Kane, but he usually gets it. Or he got it when he was around.
I wrote my answers to a lot of these like a week or so ago. And in my answer, it says, it'll be really weird as hell if Jericho comes back and doesn't get it. And last night he came back and didn't get Pyro. So
yeah, that was weird. Yeah, that was pretty weird.
It was pretty odd. I don't think anybody's really going to be like hurt. Like, it's not going to kill their character, but it certainly doesn't help to not have Pyro. It's one of those things where it's like, it's more fun if you have it, but it's not a necessity, kind of, you know what I mean?
Right.
And if they're struggling so much that Pyro's like making them go like, oh, we need to cut corners and stuff, release one or two people. That's all you need. Just get rid of like, I don't know, who's like really expendable right now?
Jinder Mahal. Kurt Hawkins, I'd probably say, is the most expendable person on either roster right now.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I would say.
I would have said Bo Dallas, but now he's in the Mistrage. You can replace him.
Replace him with Kurt Hawkins.
There you go. Get rid of Bo Dallas. Get rid of Bo Dallas and have some Pyro. Drew will be happy about that. This one's just for Kaylin. Did you search for unknown in Pokemon Go or find it by dumb luck? Also, did you evolve Tyrogue and Hitmontop? Last two I need to complete my New York Pokedex. I'll leave a comment if anything changes. Sending this in 720.
Well, right now my Pokedex is, I'm missing one that I can capture. My Pokedex is at 235. The only one I don't have is Ampharos.
If
and
you
I have
that, then you're going to be missing no.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But I do have Flaffy as my walking buddy now, so I'm, you know, still a few candies short, but soon I'll have that completed. I went to the Chicago Pokemon Go Fest last weekend with Angie. We went there and we're with tens of thousands of other Pokemon Go nerds and went there and played. And I'm sure if you've read about it, you know that there were connection issues and stuff. But overall, it was a positive experience. I caught some unknowns there. They were spawning like crazy in Chicago. As far as the ones that I got before I went out there, there's a local scanner that people have a website. Some people think it's cheating. I don't think that's cheating. But they have a scanner where certain rares are tagged. And so it'll send out a message saying, hey, this thing just spawned at this location until this amount of time. So I just jump in the car and go get it. So that's how I got my unknowns.
Does it say like unknown just spawned at unknown location?
And yes, I finally got 2 days ago, I evolved my Tyrogue into a Hitmontop. I kept getting one. Yeah, they have to have the right stat in order to evolve it in that way. And mine kept having bad stat, how it lines up. So eventually got one, did evolve him, and got my Hitmontop. So I'm pretty happy about that. And when I was in Chicago, I also got a Heracross. Two of them. So there you go. Plus I got the two legendary birds that are out right now. I'm pretty happy.
Only two birds are out?
They have, well, the legendary birds. This week they unlocked at the Go Fest Lugia and Articuno. And then they have Zapdos and Moltres coming up in the next few weeks.
I wonder why they picked those two. That's strange. Let's see, another question here. Are you making Play the Game into a board game? Take my money. Gladly take your money. And anybody's. Obviously no plans for that, but if anybody has the money to front to do that kind of a thing and they want to sponsor Make It a Game, hell, make it a game, why not? I'm actually really surprised that people tended to like, yeah, I'll put a GoFundMe on there. I'm surprised that a lot of people tended to like that segment. I thought that there was a good chance that it would go over as like, well, this was dumb as shit, what the hell did you do this for?
I haven't gone back to read the comments. How were they?
I don't remember getting too many like specific comments on the videos, but anybody that's mentioned anything has said that they really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
Like an email here or there, or like who was it? I know like Wago the other day was saying about that. He liked that, and every once in a while somebody says something about it still. So it's been like 3 weeks.
Yeah, people just like us bullshitting about wrestling.
Right. No, I had fun recording it. I'd like to do it again in the next coming months.
Yeah, definitely. It's
the fact that we had fun doing it, the fact that other people had fun listening to it, it's definitely going to be brought back at some point. What are you saying, Callum?
I was just saying it's good to have a chance to think on your feet and not be restricted to just a theme, essentially. You just come up with answers out of anything.
What was the answer that Angie had said? What was like one of the last blind tags?
She said that Miguel made her think of Orchard.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Angie, if you're listening, tell us your answers for some of these mailbag questions. Very curious what your response would be. Let's see. Do you think that SummerSlam will be hurt by too many triple threat or fatal four-way matches? Yes. Yes.
Yes. Oh, God, 100%. Yes. It's an issue because I know they're trying to get a lot of people on the card and make SummerSlam as big as possible, which is admirable, but it just makes it seem like they don't have any coherent storylines.
Mm-hmm. And that they don't want to try.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, well, instead of figuring out how we can balance out as many people on the roster as possible, with those missing 2 hours, too, that's another thing.
Mm.
Let's just throw everybody into 17 three-way matches and stuff. And
the Universal Championship one makes complete sense, and I'm totally happy with it being a Fatal 4-Way. They've built it up correctly to the point where a Fatal 4-Way match makes complete sense for the title. I don't agree with the IC one because I think it's going to be The Miz against Jason Jordan.
It seems more like that now, yeah.
And I'd like to see Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose have a singles match at SummerSlam, but we can talk about that more as we move towards it. The Raw
tag.
Well,
it seems like we're going to get a cruiserweight triple threat. Akira Tozawa, yeah. Rhea Daivari, and Neville. Seems like that's going to be happening.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
There's a possibility that we would get, even though it doesn't seem like they're necessarily going that way, that SmackDown tag titles could be a fatal four-way. It could be Usos, New Day, Fashion Police, and their attackers. There's... even though we have Bayley versus Alexa Bliss, I wouldn't be too shocked if they threw in Nia Jax and Sasha Banks.
That would make sense.
If they do have all these like three-ways and four-ways and stuff, it is a mistake. And at that point, they should be looking at the card and going, fuck, we need those 2 hours.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like I was saying, you're saying it's a shorter show, so they're just going to condense everything, and I think the show will suffer for it. I think they should expand it, let the matches, let the performers have some breathing room, tell their stories better, not just everybody gets their 2 minutes. So,
do you think that the reason why that's 2 hours shorter is because of the budget stuff? Getting rid of Talking Smack, getting rid of Pyro, not having 2 hours on the second biggest pay-per-view of the year. Very suspicious to me.
I'm not really too in tune with their financial situation right now. Is that a big thing?
I wouldn't want to speculate.
Like, you know,
I mean, I didn't know how much they were hurting right now.
Yeah, I don't know too much about that. But the more things that people do that are cost-cutting, the more kind of scary it is.
Right.
But then again, they just like hired all these people for the Mae Young Classic and stuff, so it's like,
I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe the
peanuts.
Maybe they're just putting money into different areas now. Maybe they're just trying to find ways of getting as much money as possible by cutting certain things down. I don't think the timing thing for SummerSlam. I think SummerSlam's going to overrun anyway, just because they usually do with pay-per-views nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Brock Lesnar has a 3-minute match like he's been doing, you know, we'll see. Speaking of shows, though, and all that other kind of stuff, another question here. What show would you like to be brought back that was canceled on the WWE Network? Talking Smack is one, although that's technically not canceled. I thought Breaking Ground was great. I like that. That was my top choice. I'd like to see another season of Legends House. Probably those.
I may be in the minority here, but I like Camp WWE.
No, I was going to say that as well.
I hated how long that went. Every fucking promo for that, it was just like, it felt like it was 45 seconds of them saying camp. It was kind of fun, though.
Yeah, I liked it.
I find it hard to gauge when a show's been canceled on the WWE Network. Because it just seems like they announce it out of the blue that they're not doing it anymore, like on social media, more than actually just coming out and saying, oh, yeah, we've cancelled that. You just find out by someone saying, oh, yeah, we're not doing that anymore.
And I also did like the Slam City ones, the short ones that they did.
Oh, I hated those.
I liked them.
I liked the alternative one, the Cheap Pop one, I think is what it was called.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
That one was like really, really funny, and it was like 2 episodes or so, and then it was like, no, we want to do Slam City. I was like, oh, damn it. Like, why appeal to little kids? Little kids suck. Appeal to adults. We're better. We pay for things. This is sort of a piggybacking off the same sort of kind of thing a little bit too. Your questions are always like very uniform, Peter. I'll give you that. They're always like themes that lead into one into another and stuff. It makes it a lot easier. We know that Renee Young is used to the cold being from Canada, but does she have heat on her? I see what you did there. Points unfiltered canceled, Total Divas kicked off, Talking Smack canceled. It is a little suspicious, I think, but I don't think that Renee Young's got any heat.
No, I don't.
There's anything to it?
I don't think so.
It's a little suspicious, but I think that she's too good at her job to have that much heat on her. But
if there was heat on her, we wouldn't see nearly as much as we still do.
Mm-hmm. And she just got moved to being a Raw correspondent as well.
Right.
She's both Raw and SmackDown, which I'm assuming that they did that because she's got Dean Ambrose on Raw. So that's kind of like a positive of like, hey, let's get you where you can actually hang out with your husband.
I'm hoping she does do more stuff on the network going forward, though. To be honest, I never really liked Unfiltered. It just didn't seem to have a real purpose other than just 15 minutes of talking to a superstar or a random celebrity. And I'm fine with her not being on Total Divas because I don't watch it. The only one that I'm upset about is Talking Smack, but there are reasons why that was cancelled beyond, and it's probably nothing to do with her.
If you believe what the most recent reports and stuff have been, it's that Vince McMahon's just sort of like, I don't like this shit. And that doesn't seem like it's like an anti-Renee Young thing, because I think if it was anti-Renee Young, they would have just replaced her. They would have kept the show. You know? It would have been unfiltered with Charlotte Caruso. And they did replace her with people on Total Divas, but Total Divas has replaced people all the time. Like, Naomi was like in a season, off a season, in a season, off a season. And it's basically the Bella Twins show. Like, everybody else is expendable. How is The Undertaker's retirement sitting with you now that you have had some time to take it in? After 11 years, I'm starting to think Taker isn't my favorite, but my new favorite, well, you know it. The hype is around The Miz, sitting tied for one with Taker. I haven't made my mind up yet. I want a second opinion. I'm never going to be happy with the idea of Shawn Michaels and Undertaker not wrestling. I'll be like an old man talking to my grandkids, trying to get them into wrestling, and I'll be like, yeah, but you know who would be great to pop up today? Undertaker. And they'll be like, yeah, he's been dead for years. And I'll be like, yeah, but he was the Undertaker. He's been dead before. Like,
that's just his gimmick. Yeah.
He's just really selling it. He's been selling it since 2028 or however long he's... That's not actually that far away. I don't want to give him that much. 10 years is not far away. Yeah, I'm not happy with the Undertaker being retired. It doesn't sting as much as it used to, but... Yeah. What about you guys?
I'm
okay with it. I think it was cool seeing him every once in a while, but the last few matches that we had seen him, his performance had really declined. So I think it's better to sort of go out with, you know, more dignity than to just stick around, keep doing it until it's just sad and people are feeling bad for you. So I think he got out at a good time.
I didn't really get into The Undertaker until about 2007 when he started feuding with Batista. So my connection.
Good year for Taker.
Yeah, it was a very good year for Taker. So my connection with him isn't really that strong. So I'm obviously it bums me out that he can't wrestle anymore, but it doesn't hit me as hard as when Kurt Angle stopped wrestling full time, especially with WWE, or when certain other wrestlers, like, I'll probably be more bummed out when John Cena retires than when The Undertaker retired.
I'd say it hit me more when Daniel Bryan and Edge had to retire. Because yeah.
Anytime anybody retires, it sucks.
Yeah.
Stop retiring, people. Just be healthy. Final question from Peter. We still have Frankie to get to. When someone asks you who your favorite superstar is, do they mean single superstar? I like Beer Money better than Miz and Undertaker, but I like Miz and Taker more than singles, Rude and Storm. I always assume that they mean singles. You guys do too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would assume that if they meant, like, that you can include stables, they would say, like, hey, what's your favorite tag team? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I think you need to distinguish one or the other because they're both quite different things. They both do different jobs on the show.
Frankie's question, talking about tag teams here. Are you starting to feel like the New Day's character is getting stale? A little, but I don't think it's as drastic as what some people do.
Yes, but I think the feud with the Usos has been pretty good. And the New Day have played their part in that, but I think it's a lot down to the Usos getting so much better. So I'm okay with the New Day being a little bit stale if the Usos are upping their game.
I agree. I think the New Day has gotten a bit stale. So I don't want them to break up yet. I like when they were the antagonistic heels, though, when Kofi was like, I'll beat up your little kids or something. What did he say? I'll fight your kids. And I thought that was funny. So I would be okay with them sort of transitioning to a tweener or a heel role. I think that would definitely freshen it up. They'd still be over with the crowd.
If I had any way of like freshening them up, I would say keep them with the tag team, but also they start pursuing singles championships as well.
Yeah, why not? Nothing should stop them from doing that. Especially because, like, Xavier Woods could wrestle for the Cruiserweight division. He is underneath the 205 Live limit.
Yeah, get them all the titles. Mm-hmm. Then they won't be stale.
All the belts, all the records. Another question here from Frankie. With knowing about the results of the future tapings for NXT, what are your opinions so far of TakeOver Brooklyn 3? I hate to be negative, because it really, like, it sucks when there's multiple things that I need to be negative about in a row. Like, I think that Battleground sucked, and not looking that forward to SummerSlam, but to be honest with Brooklyn, I'm underwhelmed with the card. Like, Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Roode, I don't really like Drew McIntyre. So, I'm just rooting for Bobby Roode to win, which is like, I don't want Bobby Roode to win because I want him on the main roster. You know what I mean? So it's like, well, what do I root for? A guy that I don't want to be champion so the guy that I do like can possibly move up? Asuka versus Ember Moon, that could be good. But the tag team title match is a little bit weird. And it's really Gargano versus Andrade Almas is the thing I'm most excited about. And that's the one that has the least build. But what do you guys think? What's happening with TakeOver that you're kind of excited about, not excited about?
I'm going to watch it. I'm not really up to date on NXT right now, but I watch all the takeovers and I enjoy them. But honestly, so I haven't seen much lately. So my opinion here is not very valid.
I've been watching a fair amount of NXT. I've been really enjoying the week-to-week shows. So I'm looking forward to Brooklyn in the sense that even though the card isn't as strong as it has been in the past, they consistently deliver, so I'm conditioned to look forward to it. And I'm not saying that it couldn't be disappointing, but at least I'm looking forward to that, knowing that there's a much greater chance that it's going to be good.
Another NXT question here. What's your opinion of Oney Lorcan as of late, especially with his matches against Danny Burch? That was a good match. I think tonight they're going to do another match, and I'm really kind of interested to see that out. Lorcan's weird. He's a weird-looking guy. He doesn't seem to have a character, really, and he just kind of, like, storms to the ring with his finger pointing upward, and his name is weird. So I don't really know what to think about him other than, look at that oddball.
His name is weird, says the guy with the last name Mango.
Yeah, I can't pick that one. He picked Oney Lorcan. If it was Tony Lorcan, it wouldn't have been bad. But Oney? Like, I don't get it. He would be a good addition to the Cruiserweight division, I think.
He is generic as hell, but he's an excellent wrestler. He just doesn't have... He comes to the ring wearing just plain blank black trunks. And he's bald, and he looks so plain and average, but when you actually see him in a match, you're kind of taken aback at how physical and aggressive he can be. So yeah, I think you'd be
song is generic too. It's just oh.
Yeah, he seems like the create a wrestler template number 4.
Yeah. And we all prefer number 3 anyway, so that's
number 3 was better.
Forney Linga Lorcan. yeah, he's a solid wrestler, but he's not going to be one of those people where people are like, you know, you ask your kid, like, well, you can only buy one action figure. Who do you want? Do you want John Cena? Do you want Bray Wyatt? You know, whatever. It'd be like, I want Oney Lorcan. Like, that kid gets picked on then. Okay. He just runs around the toy store with one finger pointing up going, Brie Bella announced that she'll be returning to the ring in 2018. What would you do with Brie Bella? How would you book her? I would tell her to stay home and to not wrestle anymore. She needs to be a mother to her kid. And I don't think there's anything else that she can accomplish in WWE that would be worth seeing.
I agree. I don't want to see her in the ring anymore. But if she did come back, her role should just be to make everybody else look good. She should just put over the current roster.
Yeah, pretty much echoing the same. She's not as good in the ring as her sister. And I don't think she has as much attention on her, especially with Daniel Bryan not wrestling anymore.
Yeah, what's she going to do? Bryan's kicks and the same old stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'd tell her to do. If she is coming back, I'd tell her to kick someone multiple times to get one pop in a match.
When Jinder Mahal loses the WWE Championship, will WWE just drop him back down to the state of being a jobber?
I sure hope not, because I think that would be doing a disservice to the title.
Mm-hmm.
They should keep him at least
a mid-carder, at least.
Exactly, a mid-carder, because if he just drops down to being a jobber, then it's like, what was all that about?
Yeah.
As much as I dislike it, him and what he's done to the championship, I have to agree that he can't drop down too far, because it's just a complete waste of effort and it's just wasted everybody's time. He needs to be in the mid card somewhere.
I still think him being the United States champion would have been a better idea than the WWE champion.
Oh, 100%. Hmm. I wouldn't have been too happy with either, but at least he wouldn't be such a big focus.
Yeah. This is kind of an interesting one that I don't think we've ever actually gotten before. What's your favorite dessert?
The Sahara dessert. Oh, sorry.
I'd eat it.
Be quite dry.
If you go for junk food, like in general, not as far as like, you know, you just ate a meal and then you are at a restaurant and they say, what do you want for dessert? Like, if you just talk junk food, chocolate chip cookies are like my go-to. They have to be soft, though. That's the best if you want to go with the best. But if we are going with like restaurant-type dessert, if you give me some kind of like chocolate peanut butter thing or cheesecake, those are my two go-to ones. Vanilla soft serve ice cream with Reese's peanut butter cups and Butterfinger is amazing. So I'd go with that. Brownies are fucking great. Blondies are great. Speaking of that, God, I'm hungry.
For me, I'm not really much of a, well, you say desserts, so I'm thinking sweets. I typically prefer when it comes to snacking, the salty and savory kind of snacks. But if we're talking desserts and sweets,
chicken.
Chicken. Not really a fan of chocolate so much. I like chocolate. It's all right, but that's not my go-to. I prefer like the fruitier kind of desserts. So strawberry ice cream. I love strawberry ice cream. Pies. I like pies like cherry pie and apple pie and pumpkin pie. So I'd say ice cream and pie.
Yeah, I'd go down either strawberry or lemon flavored ice cream. Is usually my two go-to ones. But if it's, again, more of a junk food thing, then I go raspberry jam donuts, or as you would say, jelly donuts.
Jelly donuts are like one of the few donuts that I'm like, nah.
Yeah, I don't want crap inside of mine.
No, I can't. I don't like the just the ones with shit on top of it. It's just not my thing. I have to have one that's filled.
Oh, there's this great Amish market around me that makes the fucking best donuts. And it's all like weird stuff too. It's like a s'mores donut and like they have like a Fruity Pebbles donut and stuff. But the best one that they have is this like whipped peanut butter type of cream inside. And of course, chocolate covered on the outside. each one of them is probably like 1,000 calories, but they're fucking amazing. And I want one of them so bad right now that you mentioned filled donuts.
Speaking of donuts, it reminds me of one of the best donuts I had in my life. I was hanging out with Wago in real life, and we were at this bar, and they were serving maple bacon donuts. They were these wonderful donuts that were fresh and hot, and they came with this maple glaze and bacon crumbles on the top, and it was fantastic. Mm.
Definitely would.
Yeah, I need to get that guy.
So this one's probably just going to be for me. I wanted to talk some Big Brother here. Are you happy Cody is back? Would you rather bang Alexa Bliss or Jessica? Do you love it how Big Brother puts jingle bells and funny hashtag stuff on? Christmas is one of the cast members, so whenever Christmas is out there, they kind of have like little like ching, 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 ching kind of stuff. By the way, Paul, all the way, hashtag friendship. Yeah, all right. So let me geek out for a second about Big Brother. Cody being back sucks. Because I want Paul to win, and he's probably going to go after him. And he needs to get knocked out. And Josh is funny as hell that he keeps calling everybody a fucking meatball. That's his go-to, like, you look like a meatball. You look a meatball. It's like, what kind of a fucking insult is that? Weird as hell, but I like the show. Paul for the win, for sure. As far as Alexa and Jessica, Jessica's got a better body. Alexa's got a better face. Give me either one that I'm happy.
All right, now I don't know these people, so I just Googled Big Brother Jessica. Are we talking Jessica Hubanks or Jessica Cunningham?
Jessica Graff, I think is her name.
Okay, let me look this up. I am not familiar with this show. Jessica Graff.
See if I can find her Instagram.
Oh, she looks like Jessica Alba, kind of. Yeah. At least based on the pictures I'm seeing.
Younger Jessica Alba.
Okay.
She's really hot.
Yeah, she's cute.
Yeah, Paul for the win, Jessica for the, you know, can't think of a less crass way of saying for the bedroom, I guess. Such a trashy, shitty show, but I love it. What were you going to say, Callum?
I was just going to say, going back to the previous answer, you like her field.
Oh, this is another TV question. Do you still watch The Flash? Am I the only one that watches The Flash?
I have not seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I do. I don't watch Arrow anymore because season 3 and season 4 were so fucking bad. And once they killed off Laurel, I was like, nope.
Holy shit, spoiler alert.
Yeah. All that kind of nonsense got in the way. I can't take that show anymore. I watched one episode of Supergirl and I couldn't stand all the hashtag feminism stuff. So I stopped watching that because it really just annoyed the crap out of me. It's not a what was it? It's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's not a man. It's Supergirl and whatever, like that kind of stuff. I'm like, I get it. She's a chick. She's got lady parts. Fucking just tell me a good story. Right. And they didn't. I do watch The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow though. They're still pretty decent, and they've had some issues this past season, but I'll give them another shot. Black Lightning, interested to check it out. Might suck. Might not. And whenever Titans comes out, you give me a, I almost said that, I'll say it better if I say it. You give me a Nightwing show, I'll watch it, no matter what, as opposed to, you give me a Dick Grayson show, because you give me Dick, I'll check it out anytime, that wouldn't have worked. Let's get back to the wrestling side of things here. Is NXT starting to reload again with talent? We got Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and Leo Rush. Leo Rush, I don't think is confirmed yet, is he?
No, he is still being rumored, and I haven't heard him. I haven't seen anything that he's been in so far, so I can't really make a judgment based on that.
Yeah, I have no idea who he is, and I have never seen Kyle O'Reilly. And Bobby Fish, meh, he seemed fine. But they need to add more people because they need to move these people up. You know, we need No Way Jose on the main roster soon, because what's he going to do in NXT? Bobby Roode needs to come up to the main roster, and Sanity might be. So, yeah, we need more people.
Now, I'm guessing I'm not familiar with Kyle O'Reilly, but it's a take on the rock band Rilo Kiley, right?
I don't even know what that band is.
It's, what's her name? Jenny Lewis. She was in The Wizard, that Nintendo movie with Fred Savage in the 80s. No?
Did not.
Anybody?
See.
Okay. Never mind.
Fred Savage is. Well, there's the 80s are.
It's a spoonerism of the band name.
I'd be a little surprised considering the fact I don't think that Kyle O'Reilly was alive in the 80s. So.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, but, God. You know what made me feel so fucking old the other day? When they said Big Cass is 27.
Yeah.
I was like, no, he's like 35. And I'm like, I'm older than Big Cass.
No, he's 30.
Huh. Booker, I think, said he was 27.
Yeah, they said it wrong a few times. He was born in 1986.
Ah, okay. Ha, you're still older than me, motherfucker. Now I feel better. Let's see, another NXT question here. Are you a fan of Ruby Riott? What about Nikki Cross or Ember Moon? We're talking about in-ring talent or looks? We're talking looks. No for Ruby Riott. She is the least attractive woman on the roster to me. Including Nia Jax and Tamina.
I probably wouldn't go that far, especially with where Tamina's concerned. But going more by the wrestling side of things, she looks like she's good in the ring and she's willing to throw herself into like big spots and hard hitting action. I think she doesn't really have much of a character at the moment though. And considering the fact that she debuted quite a few months ago, I don't really know anything more about her. Nikki Cross is great. I think she's fantastic. And I'd like her to be the next women's champion in NXT, but that's probably not going to happen. And Ember Moon is extremely athletic, but I think she doesn't have much of a character as well.
Yeah, she struggles on the mic a lot.
It's just that her character is meant to be presented as someone who's quite supernatural and has that sort of energy about her, but when she's in a promo, she just talks like a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a disconnect for me.
Yeah, but I don't like any of these three on the mic, but they're all pretty decent in the ring. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I'd say Ember's the best in the ring out of all three of them.
Oh, I would definitely agree.
Yeah.
But apart from that, they all need to stay in NXT for a while to get a bit more work. I'd say the one that I'd say is the most ready for being moved up to the main roster is Nikki Cross. But that's just because she's part of Sanity, so she could go up as the stable.
I would rank them as far as overall, like, talent. Actually, you know what? As far as overall talent and looks, now that I'm thinking about it, Ember Moon at the top, then Nikki Cross, then Ruby Riott. What about you, Kalen? What are your thoughts on these three?
Like I said, I'm not really watching the weekly NXT shows right now, but I've seen the takeovers. And I like the match that I saw Ruby Riott and Nikki Cross in. Ember Moon, last time, I think she was injured for the last takeover, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've seen her before. I like all of them. They're decent, but I need to see some more before I can form a full opinion.
And our final three questions here. Do you go on vacation? I think the last time I went on vacation was over a decade ago. I barely get any fucking sleep, let alone get time to go on vacation. So that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, like I said, I went earlier in the conversation. I went to Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago, which is about 4 hours from my house. We drove out on Friday afternoon, stayed the night at a hotel, did Pokemon all day Saturday, and drove back Saturday night. That's the closest thing that I've had to a vacation in over 17 years. Like, literally, the last time I went on vacation was in the year 2000, when Bill Clinton was still the president. So it's been a long time for me. I would like to go on more vacations, but, you know, it's tricky with timing, you know, scheduling, and also, you know, it's expensive. So haven't been able to do it very much.
I don't go on too many. The last real vacation I went on to was last year. I went to Prague for just over a week, and that was nice. That was probably the most fun I've had anywhere. I'd drunk far too easily.
I'd love to go overseas to Europe sometime. That's on my list of things to do.
Yeah, I'd definitely recommend Prague. I've only
Prague you.
Yeah, that's the way you'd that's now, the way you pronounce it.
Now I know you're saying vacation because that was in the question, but you usually say holiday, don't you?
Yes, I say holidays.
Go on holiday.
Yeah.
but one I'll... holiday after you get a break from university.
Yeah, I'll conform to your to your bastardization of our language.
Thank you. I speak
Is
American.
An elevator or a lift?
Oh, lift. 100%.
What if it goes down?
Well, then I'm there.
Although elevator doesn't work for that either, too, because it's still elevate. Yeah. Yeah, second to last question here. Why do you think that Rey Mysterio is overrated? I think I'm the only one that necessarily feels that way, right?
Yeah. Well,
I like him, but he is overrated, I would say. But I like him to a certain extent. He gets stale when he's on the roster too long.
I think he's one of, if not the greatest masked wrestler of all time.
I'd say that.
Yeah.
I'd say he's overrated now because he's not as mobile as he used to be. And obviously he doesn't have a lot of height and he's older. He's not in as good shape as he used to be. But that doesn't mean that I'd say he's overrated now. I think people expect him to be limited now, but still like seeing him for the nostalgia value.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's more of a nostalgia act now.
He's the type of guy to me that when he was in the cruiserweight division in WCW and he was doing like actual like fun stuff, and then he transitions over to WWE and he's still able to do some fun stuff, he was great.
Mm-hmm.
And he was somebody who was like, yeah, you could put the cruiserweight belt on him anytime. You could put the Intercontinental belt on him at any time. I don't think he ever should have won a world title, let alone
I agree.
Multiple. And his second world title run in particular, why? Like, why did he have to be the one that beat Jack Swagger? At that point, he wasn't doing any of the moves that he had been doing for his career to get him that kind of spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yet people were still going like, oh, Rey Mysterio, you know, he's one of the best spot monkeys in the ring and whatever. And it was like, all he does is a 619.
It's yeah. Like, and the 619.
That sometimes it like he kind of botches that and it's like slow. And
the 619 kind of bugs me too because of the setup for it. It's just mm-hmm. so forced. Because when else do you see wrestlers doing that leaning over the middle rope other than maybe sometimes for Roman Reigns doing his drive by? But besides that doesn't really happen.
Was fine with those setups when he would set them up. Like if he would drop kick them to land in that spot, or he would like do the toe hold drop and that kind of thing. But when he would like, I don't know, hit somebody with an enziguri and then they would stumble around, find that part of the ring and then lay down on there, it was like, oh, fuck you. Like, that's like, am I supposed to buy into somebody actually flipping around for the playmaker when MVP used to do that? They're not doing that. He can't spin them around with this holding their hand and, you know.
I know. If you're going to land on the middle rope and just rest there for a minute, don't do it when Rey Mysterio is your opponent.
Yeah. That's like, the worst person for you to do. Because Cesaro does that now every once in a while. But he doesn't do it every single match. And he does more stuff than that. Rey Mysterio was like one trick pony, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guaranteed Hall of Famer, though. First ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I think his work in WWE's Cruiserweight division exposed a lot more of his like actual moveset. Like the things that he could pull off at any point in time. And he did use the 619 in WCW, but not very often. Mm-hmm. So I'd say he was a far better wrestler in WCW, but he'll be remembered for his WWE legacy, which I think is still strong.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I think it's sort of like he got the world title reigns that other people never got that should have.
Yeah.
Like if I could give one of those world title reigns to Rowdy Piper and one of them to Ted DiBiase, I'd feel a lot better. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. Even though I think he's a fantastic wrestler, especially in his prime, he will go down in history as one of the worst world champions of all time. Just because he was booked so poorly in all of his reigns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully people will actually be willing to admit it too instead of just going like, no, he was great. I loved him as world champion, you know? So we're like, nah, didn't really work out all that well. Everybody was happy that Kane cashed in. Finally, last question here, which actually starts off with a finally. That's good. Finally, if you had to choose 8 wrestlers right now, who would you put on the poster for SummerSlam?
Easy. Lesnar, Reigns, Ambrose, Rollins, Strowman, Styles, Owens, and Cena.
close to mine. I would say the Fatal 4-Way members of the Universal title match.
Yeah, I left
AJ
Joe off.
AJ Styles, John Cena, Alexa Bliss, and Bayley. Because I think you've got to throw some women in there.
Kurt Hawkins. Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, but not The Miz. Tamina, Lana.
Riddick Moss.
R-Truth.
And Byron Saxton.
The Great Khali and Hornswoggle. but realistically, it would be the Fatal 4-Way Universal Championship members. John Cena, Shinsuke Nakamura. I'd put Naomi and Alexa Bliss. Just because they're the women's champions, so it looks good, that one.
None of us picked gender, right?
No.
Oh, God. The champion, yeah.
I'm not even doing my fake one, I picked gender.
All right, everybody, that is our July mailbag. Thanks for sending the questions in. Remember that we're going to be doing another one of these in August. So if you didn't get a chance to send in your questions for this one, send them in now or over the next couple of weeks, and we will get to them in August at some point. Probably the edition after WrestleMania, after SummerSlam, because that's usually the best time around the end of the month is when we can kind of do that stuff. Leave your comments below. Tell us your thoughts on our answers or your answers or anything else you want to weigh in on like that. And that's it for my side of things. But plug-wise, Kalen, what do you want to throw out there?
Check out Northwest Ohio Wrestling on Facebook. We have lots of events coming up in the next 6 weeks. So make sure you check that out in the Toledo, Ohio area. We are based, but we have wrestlers coming in from the whole region. Lots of great shows coming up. So check that out. And make sure you check out Sporkle.com for all your trivia needs and wants. And it's Sporcle. Sometimes Tony does games on the channel. Make sure you check
next
those
week
out.
I will
too.
Be.
There you go. What do we get a little preview? Do we know what you're going to do yet?
It's can you name all of the participants in every SummerSlam match ever?
Holy shit! Well, good luck.
So I'm going to fail it.
I'm gonna do that one in advance and tell you what I get. And you
I
have
think
to
it's a 10-minute time limit.
Yeah,
and it's wow. Like I don't know, like 300 names or something like that. So
good luck.
I'll send you my score and then you can try and beat it.
All right, definitely do that. Callum, anything you want to toss out to the promotions?
I would just say you can follow me on Twitter at Wigmeister14 and check out the weekly articles on SmartCount Moment because I write some of them and they would make me happy.
Woo! Yeah, definitely go check out SmartCountMoment.com. That's where you'll find all the content on all of our wrestling side of stuff. Obviously, if you have not followed us on Facebook and Twitter at SmartCount Moment, go ahead and do that. Subscribe to this YouTube channel. If you're listening to YouTube, if you're on iTunes and Stitcher, leave us a positive comment on there. That's always a good thing to kind of help out a little bit. And just stay tuned because that is it for this week's episode content. But I'm going to be recording next week's all over the next couple of days because I'm going to be gone and not around my computer for next week. So I'm going to be recording that Sporkle quiz. Actually, I might do that in the next couple of hours. And hot tags are going to be coming up maybe Saturday just to try to get them out of the way. And if we don't have any hot tags to talk about, then I might do like a scramble or something just to kind of eat up that little bit of time. And I got to think of a did you know and stuff already now too. Shit. But that stuff's happening soon. So if you hit that subscribe thing in there and you check off the little bell icon for the notifications, you'll be aware of whenever we post whatever that kind of stuff is. But that's it for this edition this week and the mailbag. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been another SmartCount Moment, and we're being counted out.